Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Hello and welcome to the Strang Report. I'm Steve Strang. Thank you for listening on the Charisma Podcast Network. Today I'm going to talk to Mike Bickle about an article he wrote in the June issue of Charisma called How Prayer Reading the Word Can Revolutionize Your Life. You're going to want to hear this, and I'm also going to talk to Mike about his influence on me personally and how it revolutionized my prayer life. So stay tuned after this word.
Hi, everyone. This is Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network, and I want to speak to you on behalf of Evangel Christian Churches. And if you've ever had a desire to be trained, equipped, and credentialed as a chaplain, you may really want to listen to this message. It's probably now would be a great time to fulfill the call of God on your life. We're still early in the year. You can accomplish so much still in this year of 2016. Becoming a licensed minister will enable you to reach out to jail ministries, hospitals, nursing homes. Maybe you want to do street evangelism or teaching, traveling, going to across the world to minister. Women's Aglow would be good. Maybe even at anti-abortion facilities, counseling, traveling, whatever it is that you've got in your heart. There's no better place to be trained and equipped than Destiny School of Ministry Chaplaincy Training Institute. Let me say that again, the Destiny School of Ministry Chaplaincy Training Institute. They're going to offer you the opportunity to be trained and credentialed as a chaplain. It's always good to have official credentials. They have correspondence classes and extremely affordable tuition. They're licensed throughout the state of Michigan and fully accredited. You can call them now. They actually prefer you to call them. Their number is 586-773-6568. And one more time, 586-773-6568. The good thing about a podcast is you can back this up, listen to the phone number again. Their website is evangelchristianchurches.com. Check them out there or just call that number. One more time, 586-773-6568 for the Chaplaincy Training Program. Get credentialed today. God bless you.
Well, welcome back, Mike. We had a good podcast with you talking about the article we did on you in the June issue of Charisma. Did you get much feedback on that article yet?
Yeah, well, it's just getting out, and it's just getting around. And of course, the folks that would give me feedback are excited, you know. They're really liking it because they feel like that you're honoring the Lord, and yet you're giving some practical instructions, and you're promoting the prayer and worship movement. And so they're very enthusiastic, and so I really appreciate that.
Well, we appreciate what you guys are doing in Kansas City and how you have day and night prayer and how you have impacted our generation, unlike few people who are alive today. I really mean that. You know, it's just incredible to go up there to Kansas City and to experience the 24-hour prayer, which people can watch online. I have you as an app, a little app for International House of Prayer Kansas City, but people can go online and participate in the prayer 24 hours a day, can't they?
Yes, and the thing that they won't all know that, of course, it's obvious to you, it's this 24-hour worship. Because when people hear 24-hour prayer, some of them think of a little prayer room with three people in it, a couple old ladies praying, which I totally love the old ladies praying, by the way. But it's full worship teams as a rule, and the prayer is interjected in the context of live worship, and it's interactive, it's antiphonal or responsive with the worship teams, and so that's why people go online is more for the worship, though the prayer is totally happening throughout it as well.
Well, I'm glad you've made that distinction because you're right. I kind of mix it up in my mind. I think of you as praying around the clock, but it's hard to do that. And it's interesting that you've actually made it fun. I mean, it's enjoyable. There's some times that are more energetic, more lively worship, and then there's maybe a two-hour segment where it's more meditative. Maybe you could explain it better than I am.
Yeah, no, you're saying it exactly right. Well, the verse that we use that you just referenced, even accidentally probably, is Isaiah 56, verse 7. It says, I will make you joyful in the house of prayer. And we took the word joyful in the house of prayer, we turned it around, and we say that, and we call it enjoyable prayer. Because joyful doesn't just mean giddy, it means enjoyable. And so we use the phrase enjoyable prayer, and one of the keys to that is having it interact with music, and a lot of spontaneous music. A lot of the music is known worship songs that we know and everybody sings, but we have a spontaneous element. Of course, that makes it really fun for the singers and musicians. We have 50 worship teams, and so they love the spontaneous part because that's where they're creative. And so the people in the room, for 2 hours, we focus on intercession. We pray for revival. We pick different cities of the earth or different areas of concern in the earth, and we pray for them for 2 hours. Then the next 2 hours, we have a closed mic, and the people in the congregation can't come up and pray openly on the mic like in the first 2 hours we just mentioned. And it is meditative. It's contemplative. The worship team, maybe 10 people on the stage, they're singing, but everyone in the room is just like Mary of Bethany sitting at the feet of Jesus with their Bible open. Then 2 hours later, we go back to intercession. We open the mic up, and anybody from the congregation or whatever, the room, can come and pray on the mic. For again, we pray different nations. Then the next 2 hours, we close the mic, and everybody just reads their Bible in a sweet worship. So it goes back and forth every 2 hours.
And in that way, it makes it more interesting. And, you know, I've been there hours every year or so. I'd like to come up and just spend a couple of days up there. And of course,
yeah, you typically do. You typically come every year for a couple of days, and you're in there hours and hours. I watch you.
Well, it's enjoyable, and it's just a way to immerse in that. And there's some kind of spirit that's there that makes it conducive. And I also watch you a lot online. In fact, sometimes I'll turn it on even as I'm having my own quiet time, and the music is just going on in the background. And
yeah, because the music is 24 hours a day. It's live music. And so a lot of people do that. They'll turn the music on of our prayer room, and they'll turn it down a little bit and the reason they turn it on is they want live music, not recorded, which I think recorded is awesome as well. And then they just have their own prayer time with the music and down low from our web stream here in Kansas City.
And it's kind of like being there in the room with you. So let's talk about this article that you did that I referenced earlier called How Pray Reading the Word Can Revolutionize Your Life. Of course, I've read this article, but I want you to just make some of the points. It's a page-long article. You know, you talk about believing and obeying, making word-based declarations. Tell us about that and how we can incorporate this into our own prayer life.
Well, I'll give the just a 10-second beginning. It starts with John chapter 5, verse 39. This is where it started with me. Jesus told the Pharisees, he says, you think that you research the Bible, you research the Word, that you will have life, but you don't. You have life only if you come to me. And at that time, I was 18 years old, I remember, and I said, that sounds like me. I'm doing Bible study, but I feel like my spirit is dead, like I'm dull, because I wasn't talking to Jesus in the midst of the Bible study. I wasn't coming to him while my Bible was open. And I thought, the light went on. It was like it was one of the most important moments of my whole spiritual life. I said, Jesus, I've never thought about talking to you when I read the Bible. Wow, coming to you when I'm searching the Bible. So a passage like, God loves you. We're just supposed to believe that. Like God says, I will direct you. I will provide for you. I will forgive you. I am with you. Those are verses you believe. There's not a lot to do with those. You believe them. So when I ran into a verse I was to believe, an exhortation to believe, I would pause and I would thank him for it. And then I would ask him to show me more, like a verse, I will forgive you. Instead of just reading it and moving on to the next verse, I still do this. I go, Jesus, thank you that you forgave me all of my sins and all my unrighteousness. Thank you. I just pause for a minute, 10 seconds. Thank you. And I found out a lot of people never thank Jesus for loving them. They never think to. They think it's wonderful that he does, but they don't talk to him about it. So I said, thank you, Lord, that you forgave me. Or the verse, thank you that you love me, for God so loved the world. I read that verse. And then I say, then I do something secondary, a second. I say, would you show me more? show me more of this truth, even though it's an old familiar truth. So that simple pausing and making those two short prayers with a key Bible verse, then I journal, then ideas come to me. Sometimes nothing comes to me, and I move on to the next verse. Then the second category of scriptures is exhortations to obey. You're supposed to do something, not just believe something. Like you're supposed to serve, or you're supposed to forgive, or you're supposed to bridle your speech and not slander or not complain, just whatever, or something with money or something with service or whatever. So I would read those verses that are exhorting me to do something. Instead of just kind of underlining the verse and moving on, I would make two short prayers related to that. I would say, Lord, I would pause for 5 seconds only and say, you know, it says, serve one another. I would pause and say, Lord, I commit to you. I commit my heart to serve people. I show me how to do this better and strengthen me, Lord. Strengthen me to do this. And that simple 5-second pause and committing myself to do it in a conversation with a real man named Jesus who sits at the right hand of the Father. And then the second prayer I add is, help me do it. Help me to serve people. Show me and help me. It makes Bible study a conversation now. And it goes from academic to an interaction with a person. And that one point makes Bible study exciting instead of dry. And it makes your heart feel alive.
Well, one of the things that I admire about you is that you have these ways to make things exciting and come alive. And I'll just mention what I've mentioned publicly before. Your idea of having a prayer list revolutionized my own prayer life. You said that if you have a prayer list, you'll pray 10 times more than without it. And I have found that to be true. I started that in 2009, and I am still continuing that today, all these years later. Now, you know, it's kind of evolved over the years, and I'm constantly kind of updating my prayer list. But there are certain people that I pray for daily, some weekly, some monthly. But you're the one that got me into that.
Yeah, I remember the meeting you were at. I was teaching all of our worship leaders. We had about 50 or 100 worship leaders in the room, and it's our monthly meeting where I give them a little exhortation, and you were visiting the prayer room, so I said, hey, come join us. And I always say the same thing. I've said this line for 30 years. I said, if you will have a prayer list, you'll pray 10 times as much. And I said, I know every one of you in the room is thinking, no way, a prayer list is legalism, or prayer list is robotic. And I say, I've said this for 30 years, the same line every time I go, I challenge you. And I want to go further. I promise you, in the next 12 months, you will pray 10 times more if you have a prayer list. And then after the meeting, you said, wow, that was a little bit bold. I'm going to try it, and I'm going to test this out. And, of course, I've said this for 30 years, and I mean, I've got a lot of satisfied customers because they come back and they go, I did pray a lot more. And because of what a prayer list does, it's two things. You put it on your schedule. That's the two things I said. And you get a prayer list, because a prayer list helps you to focus. Now, you don't keep your prayer list 100%. You get off the subject anytime you want to. But here, even though I lead this prayer ministry for 17 years, we've been doing IHOP 24/7, and I'm the leader of it. I go in the prayer room, and sometimes my mind is tired and blank. I don't even know what to pray. You know, the young people here go, the leader of IHOP, and you don't even know what to pray? I go, I'm tired and blank. I look at my prayer list, I go, oh, yeah, and it creates a focus. And again, I don't stick with it anytime I want to get off the subject or go in a different direction, I do. But that prayer list is kind of like a safety net under me. When I have nowhere to go, I look at the list and go, oh, yeah, I'll go through that. And so I encourage people to have a prayer list, but I also encourage them to schedule their prayer time. And again, you don't keep it 100% of the time, but like at 8 in the morning, you know, 4 days a week, you're going to spend a half hour with the Lord. Put it on your schedule or whatever time that works for you. And though you won't do it 100%, a year from now, you will have prayed 10 times more if you actually put it into your routine than if you just pray by chance whenever you feel that, you know, that inspiration, because that inspiration doesn't come that often. But if you have a scheduled time and you have a prayer list to begin with, the inspiration comes a lot more in context. And of course, the Lord can like blow the sail of the little sail ship and take you anywhere he wants.
Well, I can testify that what you said is true. And even as you were talking, I was realizing that this very week I had put on my prayer list, I have a little tickler file on my iPhone that reminds me of things. And I had prayed for so-and-so. I had heard that they had a prayer need. And when somebody asks me to pray for something, I say I will. I write it down or else I probably won't remember. And so I did pray for them. Now, I didn't pray for them very long. And I say, Lord, I'm not sure how to pray. I might even pray in the spirit because my mind doesn't know how to pray. And then I'll send them a little text and I'll say, just wanted to let you know I'm praying for you. Hope all is well. And people always respond. And they'll say, you don't know how much that means to know that people are out there praying for us. And, you know, that just happened this week. I didn't intend to share it. But as you were talking, I realized it in two different times that I did that. And that is a result of your influence on my life. And then I've kind of just made it my own, which I guess is the goal of any time you teach somebody something, isn't it?
No, I appreciate this so much. You've encouraged me on this point a couple times over the years, and it always gives me a boost. I mean, I really appreciate it.
Well, good. Well, our time is up on this podcast, so would you pray
Yeah, can I say one more thing real quick, is that I've written about 10 books. I don't know exactly, but there's one book that I really is my number one book and of importance in my life that you, Steve, helped me to write, and it's from Charisma Books. It's Growing in Prayer. And the reason I mention it is because I take all of these subjects you're saying and I break them down in real detail and with lots of examples. And, you know, we just did kind of a drive-by just now. But I want to encourage readers that are saying, or listeners that are saying, I really want to go deeper on these little points they just blurbed right through. Well, Growing in Prayer, get it right there at Charisma House. And Charisma, wait, that was, I said that wrong, I think. And you can get that book.
That's right, and people can also go on your website and get a lot of your notes, and you give them to people freely. You say that your copyright is their right to copy, and that's so generous of you. And people that want to do research can find a wealth of information. So tell them the website.
Just at ihopkc.org.
That's International House of Prayer, KansasCity.org. And so now let's pray.
Lord, I just ask you that you would release a spirit of strength. Lord, Ephesians 3:16, you would strengthen them with might in their inner man. You would strengthen their heart, strengthen their mind, strengthen their resolve. Give them strength of encouragement. Lord, release the Holy Spirit in the spirit of might in their inner man. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And thank you, Mike Bickle, for being with us today on The Strang Report.
Yes, look forward to being back with you again sometime in the future.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, that's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.